this is Pete from Bank of Cardiff. Is this Michael?
It is, yeah.
Perfect, perfect. Is this a good time to chat for you? You want to reschedule for later today?
No, I've got a couple of minutes. What's going on?
Perfect. Yeah, so it looks like you went online or interested in some of our working capital programs. Is that correct?
Yeah, I received a letter from you guys inviting me, and there was a reservation number and all this stuff as part of the letter, though in the application process, I never saw where I was to enter that. I just figured my information might match up. But I was interested in finding out what kind of interest rates you guys offer on your working capital loans, and a little reluctant to fill out my information online just to find that information out, but it was relatively convenient. It was close to the end of the day, so I went ahead and did it.
Good to hear, good to hear. Yeah, just I need to confirm a couple pieces of info we have on the business, and then I'll answer any questions you have.
Sure. Sound good?
All right, legal name of the business is Allen & Associates Insurance, Inc., correct?
Correct.
What is the DBA name?
Well, we filed DBA back in 2003, Mike Allen & Associates Insurance, just to get my first name in there. That's it.
Nice, nice. Good idea. And the structure of the business and its corporation, is it an S-Corp or a C-Corp?
S-Corp.
Perfect. And how long have you been in business? Since 2003 or a little before that?
Yeah, 2003. I think we actually signed our incorporation documents in October, like the 15th. But we opened for business on September 4th.
Perfect. And Mike, are you the 100% owner, or is there an equity split up there?
No, I've always been the sole owner of the business.
Oh, perfect. And one last thing, the address we have on file, can you please confirm that?
433 3rd Avenue Southeast, you mean the business address?
Yes.
Yeah, Albany, Oregon, 97321.
Perfect. All right, so you are interested in some working capital. Tell me, what's the use? What are your goals here? I saw you put expansion.
I have an opportunity to acquire a competitor that's about 45 minutes away. He's looking for $200,000 for his business. Now, we haven't made it through the negotiation process to determine how much of that he wants down. But as I was getting into the meat of that discussion, another opportunity came up in Vancouver, same exact purchase price, just a little different type of business, mostly personal lines policies, which is kind of where we've spent our time over the last 10 years or so. This first agency that I started negotiating with has about 75% commercial lines business. And so I thought, wow, it'd be nice to be able to take advantage of both. You know, if each only required $50,000 to $75,000 down, we could work out the other 150 down, you know, over time, payments, whatever it happened to be, depending on the flexibility of their needs in the contract. You know, it started making me think, and you guys had sent me a letter. I mean, I have a really good bank relationship here locally. But I went online, I looked at the Better Business Bureau, I saw some of the ratings, and the timeliness of your loan process was really the hitch pin that kind of led me to see, you know, inquire a little further. Because in the past, when I've gone to my bank, my gosh, they take a month to do anything. So it was, because this is purely business, you know, the income that we would be picking up from these two acquisitions, you know, figuring I was looking at maybe probably close to a $4,000 a month payment, but the income stream that we would be picking up off of each one of these opportunities would be about $16,000 a month. So, I mean, it definitely, the idea cash flows pretty well. Now there's some overhead to contemplate in that, but I'm fairly certain that we could make it work so that it was a positive cash flow situation. They've got some leases and some things that would need to be negotiated, et cetera. But, you know, this was just kind of my dipping my toe into the water to see how easily the financing would be available.
Yeah, well, we do work very quickly. That is a big positive compared to the larger banks. Nothing bad to say about them. They just have a lot more regulations to go through than we do.
Right. And you know, as far as, you know, I noticed that you had collateralized and uncollateralized loans and the terms of each, you know, mainly it sounded to me like fell into interest rate as well as term length. I don't know what your requirements are as far as that is concerned. You know, we're currently in a building that's worth about $250,000, and I owe about, I think, $76,000 on it. I mean, we've got quite a bit of equity in the building that we're in and own. So, you know, I don't know if that would factor into it, if we would have to include that. Really, that's what I was trying to find out. It's just
Would
more what
that,
you're underwriting.
yeah. So let me ask you a couple questions here. Would that be your
Sure.
first method of, you know, taking out a loan? Would be to use the building that you have to mortgage, obviously, as a collateral there and take out equity through that medium, or would you rather do an unsecured working capital loan just that goes on the
It
business?
really, yeah. It really, really would be better for me to do an unsecured, as long as the cost of doing that type of loan is not significantly higher than a secured loan, or again, the timeliness of the process being completed.
Well,
So, yeah, that's. I would prefer to keep it unsecured, of course.
of
That's
course,
just
of
a lot
course.
easier.
Exactly. Now that's you have voiced some concerns here. So the timeliness won't really be affected. Maybe a day or two more with the secured. There might be a site inspection involved. But for the timeliness issue, they're both going to be very, very comparable. As far as term lengths and pricing go, so for unsecured cash, basically all the risks on us, it's definitely going to be more expensive than your traditional equity line. But again, basically we have all the skin in the game and we're just giving you unsecured cash. And
Correct.
the term lengths on those too, because they're a lot more high risk, tend to be shorter. And I'm talking, unless you have like 800 credit, it's more like a 24 months and down, 3 to 24 months.
Okay, see, I've got 820 credit. I just ran it last week. Only because one of the companies that I deal with uses that rating as part of a rating variable. So I was doing a class and showed using myself, and no, I got nothing on that side
That's very good.
that's an issue.
That'll increase the term length for the working capital unsecured to the max we go on the unsecured is 36 months, so you'll be closer
Sure.
to that. With the, if that you have an 820, now the unsecured, I mean the secured ones, little bit cheaper, obviously, because we have you have some skin in the game. It's a lot
Right.
less risk for us, and the term lengths tend to be a little bit longer. We can push those into the two. I mean that's more of 2 to 5 year.
Right.
So based on that information, which one, you know, I understandably. You'd obviously like the cheaper and the longer term, but in your shoes, is it going to be worth having an un having a secured loan against your
Well,
rent?
and can you give me an example of an 800 plus interest rate on an unsecured versus a secured?
That's
I
going to be a
mean,
little.
just
That's
off the
going to be a
cuff.
little. That's going to be really tough for me, just because most of these are not predicated on credit. Well, they're very personal credits, just looked at as far as giving a term length for the most part for the amount and the interest rate has a lot to do with the cash flow of the business. Now I saw that
Oh,
you're
I see.
doing about 257K a year.
Yeah. Our income is almost, it's very consistently about 20 grand a month currently. And again, as we would go into the closing proceeds on these other ventures, one of those is a fairly young operation, and it only brings in about maybe 8,500 to 9,000 a month. Same with the other one. There's premium volume involved there that's about the same. So the combined total of those two might be close to what I already have. And again, from those income sources, we would be, you know, amortizing and paying the loan amount out of that, covering overhead, et cetera, and then merging the two or three, as it were, books of business. Given I haven't even started a negotiation on the second one.
Yeah, the Vancouver one.
Merging those. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that my thought was, one's in Wilsonville, which is about 45 minutes away from me, in Oregon, and the other one is right across the border into Vancouver, Washington. And my idea was to buy both, eliminate one of the locations, cutting the overhead, cutting the staff, absorbing that expense, and consolidating the two locations at the office that we would be taking over the lease on in Wilsonville, which is closer to me anyway, and probably wouldn't be too great of a concern for the clientele, because it's only another 20-30 minutes away. So that was more the plan. It's more of a consolidation strategy. So we would not be taking on the full overhead. Now, again, that I haven't got any information on the second one, so there may be some lease considerations or some things there that would prevent that from happening. But I'm just kind of giving you the information I have right now.
Yeah, of course, of course. So tell me a little bit, Mike, about the exact amount of capital that you're looking for. I know you expressed some down payments, but what are you looking to get here, ideally?
Well, my thought was, if I was able to get $200,000, then I could put half down on the first deal, half down on the second, and then pay off the rest over an amortization period with the sellers, of say 2 years. And the only known is what I've negotiated with the first entity. They're looking for a very quick closing. I'm not super sure that the amount amount would be accepted. They were looking for a straight cash deal, $200,000 up front. And I told them, that leaves me kind of holding the bag in a couple of areas, as far as the integrity of the book and how long-standing it's been. And I said, if that's what you're looking for, then I don't know if I'd be your guy. But if I can negotiate a $100,000 down, and then have some capital left over to negotiate, maybe a $50,000 down on the second, keep the hold back a $50,000. For the working capital requirements of converting each office to same systems, et cetera, those types of considerations. But like I said, it's not too difficult to work this out if we can consolidate those locations, and and assume that we're going to be getting $15,000 to $18,000 a month of additional income, and eliminating one or two staff members. To pick up the pieces, have the other two pick up the pieces for that other location. I'd probably let one go at the first and bring in a second one from the second location and have those two work together. But some of this is pretty nebulous at this point. Like I said,
it's pretty up in the air for that second location.
It totally is, and I could know more probably within the week. I've already gotten a call from the broker that I'm working with on the second deal, wanting to set up a conference call. But like I said, your mailer was just timely, and I thought, well, it never hurts to ask. So so I went ahead and did that online informational. But how would we find out what the exact metrics of my loan situation would be? Would you guys need more information as far as
all we would need
on top of what I submitted?
Yeah, we would just need an application. For the most, it's an application, and we take a look at bank statements and a tax return. And from there, we can actually get you into a couple of different programs that we have, and to give you a couple different options. Like I said, some the working capital secured versus unsecured, we can get you numbers in about 24 to 48 hours. So the turnover is really quick there. So if you can get me that info possibly today, I can get you something by Friday with some numbers. And that way, at least you know what you're working with here.
And what kind of costs am I looking at just to work through the possibility here? I mean, are there application fees or anything of that nature?
No, not up front.
Okay.
So right now,
only if it funds.
Yeah, only if it funds. There's going to be, you know, an ACH fee for us to collect. A couple other small doc fees, but for the most part, to get you to the point where, you know, hey, Mike, this is what your option is for secured. This is what your option is for unsecured. This is your payment amounts. That to get to that point, we don't need anything from you except for some paperwork.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. So
just to confirm, though. Yeah. Sure, so you are interested in possibly doing this secured against the building, correct?
Yeah, I think that makes sense if the cost savings from an interest rate perspective and a cash flow perspective.
I think you're also going to be able to get more money too in that scenario as well.
Okay.
So we're going to try for both. I want to get both options in front of you and let you make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that would be actually that's exactly what I wanted. I just wanted to see what my options were with Cardiff. Like I said, I do have other outlets that I've used in the past that were relatively, they're longer processes, but I'm very, very short into this negotiation. We've got lots of time.
What's the ideal time frame for you? I guess within the month?
I don't know.
Are you looking to close any of these within the year?
It would definitely both be before the end of the year for sure. And the reason for that is I get a 5%, it's actually more like a 15% bump in the commission overrides from the companies I represent if I can close before this year, because the program that they have for us to acquire other agencies is changing. That's something I didn't mention before either. I should. The commissions, I work for Nationwide Insurance. Are you familiar with Nationwide?
Yes.
Okay. They have a program for exclusive agents like myself wherein we can buy independent agencies. And in the conversion process, they have an incentive that bumps up our commissions from 17.5% on new business to 35%. So for every, we make $350 for every $1,000 of premium that we bring in. Well, that is designed to help us pay for the acquisition, in addition to absorbing some of the costs related to taking on other locations, et cetera. They pay us a $25,000 bonus for keeping the location we acquire open for 1 year. It's 15 up front, 10 on the back end after 1 year.
That's good.
There's some incentives here that will,
So it's a commission bump for the
insurance.
In layman's terms, you know, just explaining this to an underwriter would be, hey, if this closes before year end, he's going to get a 15% commission bump in, I guess, layman's
Correct.
Terms.
Correct. If we close after the first of the year, that override goes to 30% as opposed to 35% commissions on new business. And that commission level, I mean, it's still a very lucrative program at 30%.
30% is great. What's like 30% of what? What does a premium usually go for?
Like I said, in an average auto, to insure an average auto policy, you know, say a married couple with two cars, they're going to be paying roughly $1,000 every 6 months, $2,000 a year. Of that, we would make $700 for each account that we transfer in.
How many accounts are you looking at with this? Like these acquisitions,
I think there's. I think between the two, there's well over 2,500. So again, it definitely, and then that incentive on new business does not count on only the business that we transfer from these acquisitions.
But what you already have,
Every piece of business that the agency writes within that 2 year conversion period. So it's stuff that my existing agency would be placing. It's stuff that the acquired agency location and staff would be placing, and of course all the conversion business that we would be moving over. So it's a pretty broad stroke when it comes to the incentivized earnings.
Wow, yeah, that's quite the boost, man. I wish they would bump my commissions that much.
Well, again, this is, and because they're changing the program at the end of the year, I can see kind of how the company is. I mean, I have friends that have gotten very, very rich off of this exact program for the last 2 years. I have a friend up in Vancouver that he owns another business, so cash was not a real issue for him. His wife and he invested in a daycare like 15 years ago, and it went gangbusters. I mean, he had a lot of money laying around, and he just wanted to know, where's the best place I can invest this? They came out with this program, and he just started sending out mailers and making phone calls to independent agencies saying, hey, if you don't have an exit strategy, I'm here for you. And I think
he's got four of them. Wow.
Oh, yeah. He's bought him out, and he's grown his agency by, I don't know, probably three times over the last 3 years. And, you know, yeah, he's leveraged quite a bit, but he has stayed on top of it with the commission incentives. He has kept up with everything and actually paid off one of the first ones that he did, which was sizable. It was a $1.2 million acquisition. You know, these individual ones I'm looking at are only $700,000 in premium. So they're relatively small compared to what he's done. But again, I'm just trying to get my foot in the door because I feel like if I can do this and it cash flows, then I can go out, you know, set some of the money that we're earning aside and you know, get another down payment saved up relatively quickly and find the right deal and continue to do what he's doing. And my goal is to kind of step away from the frontline sales within my agency and really just focus on acquisition.
The big picture.
So,
yeah.
The big picture, yes. I mean, because really, from our standpoint, why spend a bunch of money on marketing and advertising to attract new clients when you can just buy them out and buy a book?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just buy them, you know, just buy them out and keep your staff busy writing policies, you know, based on the fact that you've been able to leverage that position with a seller. So it's not a bad program, really.
I might have to get into the insurance acquisition game after save some money.
They really are.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that's a hell of an incentive. Do you have any loans out on the business already? Are you leveraged anywhere else?
No, I have. I consolidated some debt with my current bank. We had a boat loan and some consumer debt that I consolidated on a 5-year loan about 3 years ago. I think I've got, it was about a $66,000 loan, and we've paid it down to, I don't know, like 30, 32, something like that. But again, that was not, it was through my business.
It's through the business. But for most personal expenses.
It's through the business, but it was really for personal. Yeah, exactly.
Who do you bank with?
U.S. Bank. And they're a very conservative lending organization. They have offered me these signature loans in the $50,000 to $75,000 range. You know,
just not enough for you.
Over the last 10 years. But yeah, for this, it's definitely not enough. I haven't really talked to them yet. I was looking at your program. And, you know, if I went to them and said, hey, let's, you know, talk about equity in the building and blah, 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 they would probably give me close to what I'm looking for. But the fact is the time.
Their
underwriting, oh, my God, it'd be like 3 months probably.
Yeah, there's no way you'd close that by the end of the year. There's no way.
That's more my concern. So again, this is kind of where I've landed as a result.
What is Mike? What's the bare minimum for like amount of money that you need? Like I'm talking the bare like you said 70K is not going to work. Would 100K be the absolute like if you can't get me that I can't take out a loan?
I know I could probably make 100K, but it would likely only incorporate
that
the
one.
First acquisition. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would be able to acquire the second one on a zero down. That would, I mean, they'd be crazy mm-hmm. to do that.
A lot of these programs that we have, basically most of the programs that we have, halfway through the loan, the term, you could actually reapply, and we can get you more money. It's usually about what you've paid off already. So, you know, you had a year term on 100K, just for an example. After 6 months, you could probably get another 40 or 50K. But we're going to try and get you right above that 100K mark, closer to 200, so you can have both businesses on the table for you. You don't even know if that second business is even still on the table, or you will later, though, right? I got you.
I will most likely by Friday. I had my first conference call on the agency, the commercial lines agency, yesterday. They have a lease that they can't get out of. It's costing them like $3,000 a month in a very high-end office building. And, you know, I was trying to subsidize the expense by consolidating these two locations. I figure if one's $3,000 and the other one's, you know, $2,000, I can kind of dollar cost average by consolidating the two, and it becomes a little more affordable. But again, if I have to, I can always go to the seller and say, hey, I'll pay you a premium on the sale. But I'm not going to take the location. I'm going to find my own location because, quite frankly, it's on the fourth floor of an office building, and that's not exactly conducive to the retail type operation that we have.
Yeah,
so
I would say
or something like that.
For us, that would work, but I could see the insurance industry not doing so well on a high rise. I mean, fourth floor is not too bad. Quick question, Mike. Which one of these would you rather, I guess not even with the companies themselves, but would you rather handle commercial lines or personal lines?
Personal
is one
lines
more profitable?
The personal lines is less profitable because of the renewal rates. The renewal premiums usually drop down to around 10% as opposed to 15 on the commercial. So commercial pays 15 and 15, 15 new, 15 renewal. Those are annual premiums. And then the personal lines usually pays like 15 up front, and I'm just using an average commission. With some companies, it's as high as 17. With other companies, it's down around 12. But the average is about 15. And then on the back end, the on the personal line side, you get 10 to 12%, depending on its own auto or home, et cetera. So it's a pretty small margin of difference, but we are, we're being pushed as an agency to divest ourselves of the personal lines market and really sow all of our new effort into commercial, because the personal lines market's becoming highly commoditized. You see companies like Geico and Progressive advertising on television telling people that price is all that matters, et cetera. We've always worked with our clients on a relationship basis, but that's becoming more and more difficult as time goes on. So as the insurance industry and the personal lines side becomes more commoditized, we're realizing that the people that we can serve best and be that trusted advisor for are the business owners that have a lot more to risk, that don't want to make these decisions independent of a professional. And that's where,
and then maybe wouldn't put cost above performance or
correct.
What they want. Exactly.
Correct. Or knowledge of the professional that they're working with. Again, I used to own a restaurant, for instance. So I work with a lot of restaurateurs because I know how to deal with the problems that they face on a firsthand basis, liquor licensing, that kind of thing, maintaining adequate coverage levels to avoid many of the perils that, that restaurants, face on a daily basis, refrigeration systems failing, we want to make sure they have spoilage coverage, et cetera. So mechanical breakdown coverage, because, freezers break, walk-ins break, things like that happen. So we've done pretty well in that niche. The first agency that I'm looking at is the commercial lines agency. It's about 75%. And I do, like I said, we pick up their markets too. So they've got Safeco and Liberty Mutual and let's see, what was the other one? Several of the companies that we already represent on the commercial line side, because we're fully independent on the commercial line side. We can be directly appointed with any number of companies for commercial. Whereas with personal lines, we're trying to move that business over to Nationwide.
Okay. So. I gotcha. So I guess you'd rather get this first company over the second one, if if it was a choice, either or?
If there's a choice, yeah. I mean, ideally, I'd want to do both, but I gotta find out what the minimum requirements are for capital up front on the second, and I'm not even sure that the first one would accept $100,000. I'm just saying 50% down would be about the most I would want to put into it just to get it in the door.
So, yeah, well, you gotta be able to negotiate too. It can't be a one-way negotiation where he's 100 or nothing. He's gotta meet halfway. Do you have any other assets on the business, such as pieces of equipment or stuff like that, that can be used as collateral, or mostly titled things?
Yeah, we're titled things.
I didn't think you really had too much under there.
Like, no. I mean, we have some computers and, you know,
yeah, it's not
computers,
good.
Printers. I mean, average basic office equipment. You're not. And then we lease. We have like a copier. We lease that kind of thing. Nothing that we would consider an asset.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to make sure. I mean, that's more of a question for, I guess, like a construction company that instead of doing...
Or
a
manufacturer.
Yeah, instead of doing a collateralized loan through real estate, it would be, you know, maybe a couple bigger pieces of equipment, like a CNC machine or a tractor or something like that. But
correct.
Okay, so basically we got everything that I need to on my end to, you know, process the information. I'm going to need the couple pieces of info, like I said, from you to get you some numbers and some feedback by around Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, if you can email me those things, so I have it in writing specifically, can respond to that, and I got my taxes and all that stuff done. That's not a problem. I even have a tax... what do they call that? Something for my daughter's college tuition. I have a tax
write-off.
God, I can't remember the name of it. No, not a write-off. It's a statement that's not my return as filed per se, but a transcript, tax transcript that gives you a good summary, if you want, of the last year's return. Yeah, but it just talks about my income personally.
Business, all the business information, nothing personal.
Okay, perfect.
All right,
that would be fine. Yeah, I can definitely verify what I've submitted. So just send me that and I'll respond to it, and hopefully we can get it wrapped up as far as knowing what our options are. By late this week, early next week.
Perfect. No, late this week should be our time frame on that, which will be good because you should, you know, get your feedback from that second business there in Vancouver, and then from there you can have more, I guess, knowledge about the whole situation in general, where to proceed.
Indeed.
All right.
Well, I look forward to getting that together for you. Just shoot that off. I was actually headed back to the office right now after an appointment, so as soon as I get there, I'll start looking that stuff up.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Take care, man.
All right, great.
Bye-bye.
Thank you again.